You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an acquired taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson, your skinamarink watching, hard-boiled egg eating. I'm wearing pants today that aren't black, and I feel super vulnerable, friend.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney, your nothing gives me body issues like packing for a vacation. I signal to the world that I am young, cool, and hip by wearing high-top Nike sneakers. I am always marveled at how much easier technology makes my life, friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I get together to talk about our lives, topics we're curious about, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. Kathleen, it's your week. What have you brought to the table this week?
This week, I am talking about how to get revenge on your neighbors.
Is this why you stormed into the studio today, full of vim and vigor?
Yes.
And you were like, I'm taking evidence.
I slammed my backpack down on the table and I was like, Bethany, today I'm in a fighting mood. I'm not taking no one's shit. And I am going to the mattresses.
All right.
Yeah. Do you know what that means, going to the mattresses?
I always thought it was going to the mats. I thought it was a wrestling term.
No, it's from The Godfather. It's like going to the mattresses.
What does that mean?
Yeah. It means that you're going to go all the way. You're not taking any shortcuts. Go hard or go home.
The mattresses.
It's go hard or go home in Italian.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean? Let's see. What does it mean? It says,
like, put your dukes up.
A fight, a struggle using ruthless tactics or taking a warlike stance. That's it. I always thought it was like going to the mat. Like you're pinning them to the mat because it's wrestling.
The only reason I know that is because there's like a long conversation about this phrase in the movie You've Got Mail.
Interesting. And I've never seen that movie. So then I don't know.
You are really missing out.
I feel like I might not be.
No, but like it's a great New York story.
Yeah.
And it's about a small independent bookshop, which I feel are two things on
I have seen this movie.
Yeah.
You made me watch this movie.
You like independent bookstores and you like New York City. So it's like really your cup of tea, my friend.
I get You've Got Mail confused with Sleepless in Seattle, which is about Seattle. Is it also Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
It's a double dose of both of them in those movies.
Which came out first?
Sleepless in Seattle.
Came out first.
Yeah, 1993. Okay. Then followed by You've Got Mail in 1997.
Which was a real return to form.
I saw You've Got Mail on the plane on my way home from space camp.
Oh, yeah. What were you in space camp? The nutritionist?
No, I was like communications operations specialist.
Gotcha.
Anyway, you texted me last night.
Yeah.
That you saw a movie that made you so scared you were sitting tense.
Yeah.
Tensed up for more than an hour.
Yes.
And I replied, so like your normal state of being.
Natural state, fully anxious. I want to talk about Skinamarink in our pop culture coffee break.
Okay.
Unless you had something else planned.
No, okay. No. That's cool. But you know what? We can talk about going to the movies because I went to the movies this weekend also.
What did you see?
I saw Otto.
Otto, a man called Otto or whatever, with Tom Hanks. Speaking of Tom Hanks.
I love him. And I don't wish anybody dead, but I was just imagining what I will feel in my heart. God forbid Tom Hanks pass away.
Well, he will eventually.
And I will mourn his death like I've never mourned a celebrity death before.
I'm going to feel that way about Jamie Lee Curtis. Oh, it's going to be a tough one.
I can see that. Yep.
What is A Man Called Otto about? Is it based on a book? I feel like it's based on a book. Okay.
It's based on a book called A Man Called Ove. Mm. It's a Nordic book.
I have that book.
Yeah, I forget which country it is, but I've read Beartown by the same author, and I can't even remember the author off the top of my head. Hit the googs, peeps. And it's just about an old man who's a curmudgeon, and I really saw a lot of myself in him.
A Man Called Ove by...
Frederick
Bachman? Does that sound right?
Yeah, that's precisely what it is.
Yeah. So it's just about a dude who's like grumpy, and does he learn to love?
Yes, he does learn to love, Bethany. It's a heartwarming tale.
What did you learn from it? Did you learn a lesson from this motion picture?
Yes, I learned that it is good to be grumpy if you use your grumpy mood strategically.
Oh.
But then also you have to lighten up sometimes, because it does take quite a lot of energy to be grumpy.
It does. To be actively grumpy for a long time, it becomes draining.
It
the
does.
Same way being happy for far too long, as my grandma would say, is draining. That's interesting. I see that there's a cat. Is there a cat in this movie?
Oh, yeah, there sure is a cat. See, you would like this movie. You like cats.
It looks like a Norwegian forest cat, which would make sense because it's a Nordic story.
It does. So what's going on in the life of Bethany? What's new in the hood?
I have such a busy day today.
Oh.
So left my house at 7:45 to get here.
Oh, God.
So we're recording today.
Yeah.
Taking the train back home. I'll get home at 3. I have a meeting at 3:30. Then you and I have a meeting as soon as my 3:30 meeting is done.
Yeah.
And then I realized today that I have to run to Kohl's by 9 p.m. before the store closes because I did a Amazon try before you buy for my headshots, and I have to return this jacket by today or I get charged $70 for it.
Oh, man. I thought you were going to say that your Kohl's cash was about to expire.
I mean, it might also. God, Kohl's cash. Did you see that meme where it was Halloween time and someone cracked? It was like, parents, check your kids' candy. I cracked my kids' candy bar open and I found $15 in Kohl's cash.
Kohl's really is like, you shop there, you buy something for $15, then you'll get, I don't know, like $10 Kohl's cash back if you shopped strategically.
Yeah.
And it's really like two for the price of one.
Every time you return something from Amazon there, you get $5 in Kohl's cash.
Wait, really?
Every time.
Get out of here.
Kohl's cash. Yeah. So I'll be going tonight to return this Amazon try before you buy. Don't try it before you buy. It's so stressful. Have you ever done this before?
No, I haven't.
It's because you have a week. Mm-hmm. So they send you the product. As soon as you receive it, you have a week to either return it, like say you're going to return it, or they charge you.
Yeah.
So then when you say after a week, I'm going to return it, you get like 3 days to return it. So I thought I had at least a week. I do not. I have until today.
Mm.
Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, like you have like 4 days to return it. So it's a much tighter return schedule.
Yeah.
So it's stressful, Kathleen.
No, I hear that because I do Rent the Runway, and they too. You know what? They let you now pick the clothes that you want shipped out before you actually return the clothes back to them.
That's nice.
And you have like a 1 day overlap.
Okay.
But that it does. It gives me agita thinking that I need to get to Staples by a certain time.
It's incredibly stressful.
And let me tell you, not all Staples are created equal.
Oh no, what's going on?
Because my Staples in Jersey City, New Jersey is so busy that you can just walk in and go behind the counter where the employees work and return your own packages.
What?
Like they don't even care. They put the password, it's like taped right to the
what?
Monitor.
That's so crazy.
I'm used to doing it myself, and I forgot that that was an extraordinary situation. And so I walked into a different Staples recently and went to the UPS package center and then walked behind the counter and tried to do it myself. And the employee was like, excuse me.
Oh, my God.
You cannot be back here.
Who was his name? Otto? Was he a real curmudgeon?
I was like, dude, listen, I got this down pat. I don't work for you, but I might as well.
What is the UPS computer password address? Is it 1234?
No, it's like Staples 53. 1376.
Anytime I'm at a place that has public Wi-Fi and they tell me the password, I'm always a little annoyed with myself that I didn't just guess it. Because it's the similar with coupon codes.
Yes.
Once you find out the coupon code is like spring 23.
Or welcome 10.
Yeah, it's like, oh, come on. I should have figured that out myself. It's so clear.
That's why you need all those like smart plugins in your browser to find the coupons for you.
But if not, I do always try like whatever the upcoming season is.
Yes.
So fall 10, fall 15, fall 20, fall 25, just to see. And sometimes it works.
Oh, it sure does. I mean, Rakuten and honey and all
honey.
Sorts. Bethany, I got a check from Rakuten the other day for $37.
Good Lord.
I have a credit in my Capital One shopping account for $100.
From just using Capital One Shopping?
Yeah, from using Capital One Shopping when I check out. They like get the marketing information and they sometimes provide me with a code. They sometimes don't, but I get a certain amount of cash back just because I click their plugin when I'm shopping.
Oh man, I need to do that. I need more cash back.
You gotta hack the system,
hack
baby.
Hack the system. Cash back. Kohl's Cash.
Ooh, you know what? The new Lauren Conrad stuff is really cute.
Is it? Is she still at Kohl's?
She is still at Kohl's.
Good for her.
But she recently retired from blogging.
Oh my God.
She retired her blog and made a whole big post about it because she wants to focus on her family and her business and not blogging anymore. And you know what? I don't blame her. Blogging is a pain in the ass. Like, you're Lauren Conrad. You shouldn't have to sit down at your computer and come up with like five ways to DIY Valentine's Day cards for
That's
your friends.
Exhausting. No more blog. No one should have to blog ever again.
Mm-mm.
Normalize not blogging.
So I am the queen of getting stressed over nothing. It's in my DNA. Meanwhile, my sweet husband over there is always cooler than Cool Hand Luke. And that is why I like getting ahead of the stress of the year by experiencing the full potential of CBD with Next Evo Naturals. Truly, when CBD first hit the mainstream market a few years ago, I was super skeptical. I didn't know much about it, but CBD Next Evo Naturals is the real deal. We don't partner with companies that we don't thoroughly research, and Bethany and I have both been blown away by their products. One of our favorites is their Stress CBD Complex. Next Evo Naturals is the most clinically studied CBD brand, and they have this thing called SmartSorb technology, which basically means that their CBD is 30 times better absorbed in the first 30 minutes. Don't just use any CBD brand out there. They're not all created equal. Most CBD products on the market only have a 2 to 10% absorption, so at least 90% of that is wasted. And it may have taken me 3 times to pass calculus, but I know this, that math is simple. And if it's not absorbed, it cannot help you. And I've been spending a lot of time in airports recently, and flying is stressful. Traveling throws off my sleep, and that is why I really like carrying around CBD gummies and capsules from Next Evo Naturals in my purse. I had a friend who I was traveling with, and she doesn't like flying, and she was guzzling mojitos before the flight, and I'm like, girl, have you ever tried CBD? Because you will not be hungover when this plane lands when you use CBD instead of alcohol. So let CBD help you reach your full potential with Next Evo Naturals. All you have to do is go to nextevo.com/podcast and then use the promo code TASTE to get 20% off your first order of $40 or more. Again, that's 20% off your first order of $40 or more at NextEvo, NextEvo.com/podcast, and then use the code TASTE. Bethany.
Yes, Kathleen.
I have gathered us here today to talk about how you can get revenge on your neighbors.
Okay.
Because I'm having an issue with my upstairs neighbor.
Oh, dear. All right. What's going on?
And you know what? I may be a petty bitch, but at least I'm a petty bitch with a heart of gold.
Okay.
And sometimes you just have to fight fire with fire.
Okay.
Fire with hotter fire.
Hotter, more fire.
Mm-hmm.
A different kind of fire.
A different kind of fire.
The kind that burns blue, you know? So what, can you set the scene?
Okay.
What's going on with your upstairs neighbor?
So my apartment is, like I have a large living room.
Okay.
And sound from the upstairs really just comes through at a level that makes me wonder if the people who built my building like skipped a couple of steps.
Okay.
Like, did they forget to lay the dryer sheets in between my ceiling and the floor upstairs?
Like the ceiling Like, your ceiling is just their floor. They didn't put any, I don't know, cotton. I don't know. What do they put between floors?
Kool-Aid
insulation? Patches? I don't know.
I don't know.
Rugs.
So what happens is that the guys that live upstairs, they're very into sports games.
Okay.
And it has been an increasingly growing problem that they invite their friends over to watch said sports games.
Okay.
And they get really into it.
Sure, because they're, as I call them, potato jocks, which is couch potatoes who refer to their team as we.
Yes, no, you're right, Bethany. And Neil and I have been tolerating their loud, heavy walking.
Okay.
For months and months and months. But what really is becoming intolerable now is these sports ball parties that they're throwing.
All right.
With their friends where they're really into the game and they're stomping on the floor.
What's the purpose of stomping? You're not the one player.
I know. It's like the Giants cannot hear you cheering for them.
Yes.
So can't we all just, like, you know, snap our fingers like the beatniks do it?
And also, like, are you dancing in celebration? Why are you stomping around? Bethany, I guess I don't understand the purpose of this stomping.
When people watch sports, they like to whoop it up and they like to cheer and clap their hands.
Sure, but that doesn't involve your feet.
You know what? At this point, Bethany, if they invited me upstairs for, I don't know, a classic musical sing-along, a Sondheim sing-along, and said you get to choose your favorite Sondheim song and lead us off, and I knew that there was going to be an equal amount of stomping and cheering,
yeah,
I would say no.
Okay. And wow. And that's saying a lot.
That says something. Like, this past summer, a picture fell off the wall in my office.
Oh, no.
Because where my office is, it's like their dining room area upstairs.
And they're stomping around the table?
Stomping. Because, you know, I think she's sitting around the table. I imagine maybe they're eating, like, nachos or something.
I don't understand these people. Because, no, I don't picture a lot of dudes during, I don't know, what season are we in? Winter. So what is? We're not footballing right now, are we?
It's football and hockey.
Okay, I don't picture a lot of people sitting around a dining room table watching hockey and eating nachos.
It's like I think they stand up to get a snack and then they can see the TV because, like, the couch and the dining room table are next to each other, and then a play happens and they're like, yeah, and they stomp
and
on the floor. So sometime last month, I wrote a quick email to the company that manages my building.
This is my favorite version of Kathleen Heaney is Kathleen H. from Hoboken, New Jersey, who's got a strongly written email that she has to get out.
I contacted the management company on December 1st at 7:34 in the evening, and I said, hey, you know, the unit upstairs is really loud.
Yeah.
Could I have their contact information so I could send them a friendly text?
Yeah.
To quiet down?
Yeah.
To which the management company was like, well, we have to get their permission.
Totally.
Do you want us to do that? In typical Kathleen style, I just didn't respond to the email.
But Kathleen, you have to respond to the email.
I just, you know what? I forgot. And I was like, oh, this is this is such a rigmarole. I can't.
It's a rigmarole you started.
It was the holiday season.
Can we just pull the curtain back, by the way, on this morning?
Yes.
Where, not to throw you under the bus, but I feel like it's very funny, where we got an email from Audio Boom saying, yeah, Babbel, the language learning app, is a potential partner of you guys.
And we love Babbel.
We love them. And they want to know why you're interested in partnering with them.
Uh-huh.
To which Kathleen immediately responded, an acquired taste is a yes for Babbel. To which I responded, here's also why we're interested in partnering with them.
This is why you and I make a good partnership, because I get right to the point and you're more about the finer details of life.
Okay, so you didn't get, okay, so you never responded.
I never responded because I'm like, oh, I just don't have time at the top of the month in December to start a whole big thing.
Okay, but you did start the big thing.
I did start. Okay. So Let's fast forward through the month a little bit to the evening of Sunday, December 18th at approximately 9:12 in the evening.
Gentle listener, she is not looking at notes.
No, I'm not.
She has this in her head.
Oh, because Bethany, I am next level revenge right now.
Yeah.
Because Neil is away on vacation and I have been allowed to stew in my anger.
Oh.
I texted my friends this morning that the water is pretty warm and comfortable in the deep end. Thank God I don't live alone because I would stay here forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So, like I said, 9:12 in the evening, Sunday, December 18th, there is a nighttime Giants game.
Okay.
Which is hard for East Coasters when you have to go to work the next day.
Yeah.
And the game doesn't end until, I don't know, 10 o'clock.
Far too late. You know? Way past my bedtime.
But if it were me and I was into that type of camaraderie, televised camaraderie, I would perhaps sit on my couch, have a calming cup of chamomile.
I think either or.
Chamomile tea.
Both are disgusting.
And best of
unless there's a little bourbon in that chamomile, if you know what I'm saying.
And I would watch the game until it was over, and then I would quietly go to bed, not to rile up my senses, my blood pressure. That
sure,
type
yeah,
of thing.
It's hard to go to bed after you've been watching Giants.
Yeah, I know. They're very large.
Yeah.
So Neil is like, okay, I get that it's the Giants game.
Sure, big deal.
But it is after 9 p.m. on a Sunday night.
Yeah.
Like, it is not cool. They were stomping. Our apartment, Bethany, is shaking. It sounds like the ceiling is caving in. Now, I have evidence to present to you today, and I was Googling whether or not it was legal to play this on the podcast, but because I recorded in my own apartment, it is legal.
Okay, great.
Okay, so I'll play you a clip in a second. But so Neil goes upstairs, and he knocks on the door, and he's like, and you know, he does like the bro thing, like, dudes, I get it.
My guys.
I'm watching the game downstairs too.
Go Giants.
Go Giants. But it's after 9 o'clock. Yeah. Like, it's not cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they were really snarky to him. And they were like, dude, we deal with it from the people upstairs. And I don't know what Neil said after that, but I know that he came downstairs and he was very angry and he shut our door and he's like, we're going to have a problem.
When Neil gets upset,
I know.
You know. Because he's like he's a pretty chill guy.
He's super chill. I am the one that's riddled with anxiety, and he just like cruises through life, like not worrying really about anything.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, I have to tell you that we had to get a cable box because we couldn't stream sports games over the internet because upstairs they have a cable box. And so Neil could hear them cheering for good plays a full 5 seconds earlier.
That sucks.
Earlier than what it was coming through on our TV.
Oh, no.
So not only are they causing a noise disturbance issue for us, we also are now paying more monthly so Neil can watch the games and be in sync with those a-holes upstairs.
That's infuriating.
Oh, God.
Kathleen.
Infuriating.
Oh, my God. Okay, so.
So this past Sunday.
Yeah.
NFL playoffs.
Oh my gosh.
Now, I didn't know this until I did a little bit of research.
Okay.
But it was like the Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills at like 1:30, 2 o'clock. And then again at like 4 something, it was like the Giants, whatever.
So many games in one day.
Double feature.
Okay.
At 11:30, I can hear them starting to pull their chairs and they're moving furniture around.
Imagine having this many friends.
Exhausting. And I'm like, oh, we're going to have a problem.
Yeah.
So the friends come over at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh my God, they're so loud. I start angry texting Neil. Even though he's not home, I still want to share my frustrations.
He's on vacation.
He's
trying to relax.
He is in Disneyland.
Oh, the best.
With his friend Greg.
Oh my gosh. This is just a couple bros at Disneyland.
Just a couple bros at Disneyland. No, Neil and Greg are doing sports ball things over in LA. They went to go see the Devils play in LA.
That's fun.
And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to take a nap.
Sure.
It's fine.
Yep. Sleep off the pain.
Sleep off the pain.
Yeah.
And I am woken, Bethany. Awoken, or is it woken or awoken?
Someone woke me up.
Someone woke me up that someone was the a-holes upstairs, Bethany. I am on the couch in a dead sleep, someone scores a touchdown, and it is like an earthquake plus elephants plus every single sports ball fan in the entire world is having a enjoyable seizure.
Oh, an enjoyable seizure.
Above my head.
Oh,
and
no.
The type of I am awake now where you sit straight up.
Oh gosh, I hate it.
Because your heart has stopped.
Yeah. It like hurts your chest.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so now they're stomping and pounding on the floor in a manner where my apartment is vibrating and these low frequencies are starting to give me a headache.
That's insane.
Insane. So I said to myself, Kathleen, you need to get revenge. Here are the steps that you need to take to get revenge. You need to get your facts straight.
Yes.
What time is it?
Yep.
What day it is?
Yep.
Who is playing?
Yep.
And what are your rights?
Okay.
Like, what are the laws?
Laws.
Around noise ordinance.
Sure, totally.
Or building laws, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
And then I said, Kathleen, you need to gather evidence.
Always.
And information.
Have it written down.
Unfortunately for my upstairs neighbors, Kathleen H. is a podcaster. So
sure
I got out my ladder.
Uh-huh.
I hooked up my microphone.
Amazing.
And placed it on top of my ladder, very close proximity to the ceiling.
Amazing.
as to gain the most accurate description, representation of what's happening.
Sure. You want to get nice and close to the noise.
I hit record and I sat there and stewed.
Were you drinking your chamomile?
I was not drinking anything, Bethany. I was watching the audio waves on Adobe Audition just go up and down and down. And I was really pleased that the stomping was registering because I was afraid that it wasn't going to.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you never know.
So then I also needed to gather information,
sure.
To which I learned that sound travels better, faster, maintains its, I don't know, volume, velocity when it travels through solid physical materials as opposed to air. Which is why the stomping is really more bothersome than them actually yelling.
Oh, that's so interesting.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I know that the owner of the unit above me is some sort of like, I don't know, physicist or something. So when I was crafting a letter to him, I made sure to put in like some science facts in there.
Which is to say, a letter has been crafted.
I mean, obviously, I don't know if you can tell from, we're across the table from each other.
Yeah.
But I put on a lot of makeup today. I'm exhausted because being this petty is truly exhausting.
It's a lot. You know what? It's a lot. And that's why some of the meanest people you know are always so tired.
They look haggard.
Haggard.
Like they're drinkers and smokers.
Oh, God. But really, it's just rage.
So after about 40 minutes,
uh-huh.
I have gained... recorded, gathered enough evidence.
Okay.
I got some really good plays in there where they were like really happy and cheering.
Kathleen, I have to tell you,
mm-hmm.
I have the biggest smile on my face because, gentle listener, I don't know what you're picturing, but I am picturing a ladder in your living room with your microphone on top of it, pointed at the ceiling.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You sitting on the couch with your feet up and a glass of wine in your hand, a smirk on your face, just watching the microphone.
Just watching those audio waves go up and down and up and down.
Like a regular heartbeat.
So now I download the audio. I start chopping it up because, Bethany, step number three in getting revenge against your neighbors is building a case.
You're like a lawyer. You're like Johnny Depp's hot lawyer, Camille, what's her name?
And so I start texting the HOA vice president.
Texting him?
Well, he's my friend, too.
Oh, this is your friend who you have to hide your faucets from.
Yeah. So I'm texting him. I'm like, hey, he's on the same floor as the offenders.
Okay.
As these 30, recently turned 30-year-old former semi-pro athlete baboons that live above me.
Happy birthday.
I'm like, hey, do you hear all the noise coming from unit blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
He's like, no, I don't. I was like, oh, so what's the sound like in your apartment? Do you hear the people above you? And he's like, yeah, sometimes it depends.
Yeah.
And I said, well, let me tell you what I'm experiencing right now. And I start sending him audio clips.
Amazing.
And he is like, oh my God.
Proper response.
So then I say to him, how do I handle this? What is the proper channel?
Uh-huh.
Because now I know I have written evidence that I have submitted my concerns to the HOA vice president.
And they've been like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. And he's like, well, usually it's figured out owner to owner. Well, the people upstairs are tenants.
Okay.
So they're not the owners. So even
so they're renting.
They're renting.
They're renting.
They're
but
renting.
You bought.
Oh, yes. I'm an owner.
Yeah.
That makes me better than they are.
Okay.
No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
It gives you more power.
But it does. In a case like this, yeah. It really gives me like that extra oomph
yeah.
of my opinion matters
totally.
More than yours.
Sure, which always feels nice.
So I have gathered my evidence. I've started building my case. I have now sent, I don't know, 3 subsequent emails to the person, the building management company, the person that I emailed on December 1st. Like, hey, need to let you know that I'm going to have to get in touch with the owners because this is a problem.
Yeah.
Hey, gotta let you know that this is now intolerable.
This has been escalated to a threat level midnight.
Yeah. And I don't want to go upstairs because I know that alcohol is involved and I'm a woman and my husband's
my
not
God.
Home.
Oh my God.
And then, hey, I finally lost it. And I went upstairs and knocked on the door and this is what happened.
Did you?
Bethany, it got so bad that I put on a clean sweater. I brushed my hair.
It's always astonishing how your sweaters have baby food stains on them and you don't even have a baby.
You know what? That is the most accurate description of any at-home sweater. You know, the sweaters you only wear
totally.
When you're at home.
By the way, mine have grease stains and I never work around grease, so I don't know what's going on.
So I kind of like looked a little bit presentable because also I don't want to be like the shrew that's...
Of course not.
You know, like I am a millennial. They're probably on the cusp of like older Gen Zers.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be like the haggard shrew that goes up and is like, turn your TV down.
You're being so loud and I'm drinking my chamomile.
Okay. Well, I turned on my phone. I hit record.
Uh-huh.
And I went up a flight of stairs and I am now taking video from outside their door. And in between the double feature football games, they're now like blasting EDM music.
Oh, it's in the club.
Oh, my God. And so I got some good footage, I collected some good evidence just taking video outside their door.
If I had been one of those tenants and I looked out my peephole just randomly and I saw a woman out there with her phone recording my door, I would be so frightened. I would be so frightened.
You're like, who is this lady with the messy bun and the gray turtleneck?
Who's her stylist?
She looks evil.
But so pulled together.
So I'm like, and the guy opens the door and he looks at me and he's like, you live downstairs? And I was like, yeah, I live downstairs.
What? Who else do you think this is? Which also he knows he's culpable because he guessed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He knows. And I'm like, yes. And, you know, I'm like, and this is what really gets me. As a woman, I always apologize first before I'm stern.
I know.
I'm like, dude, I'm all for a fun time. But this has been going on since 1 o'clock and it needs to stop. And he looks at me and he's like, well, the game is over at 7:30 and it is 6:15.
Okay.
And I said, well, it needs to stop now.
Okay.
And he's like, all right, we'll take it down a notch. And I know that the second he closed his door, first of all, he saw me holding my phone in like a weird, awkward way. He totally...
And by weird awkward, you mean holding it directly in front of you, aimed at him?
I was like holding it at my side, upside down, but the camera was pointed towards him. And I just see his eyes like look down at my phone.
Uh-huh.
And I know that the second they closed the door, they were like, that bitch.
Yeah, he made a hand gesture like he was lubing up a pipe.
Yeah, exactly. So I go downstairs. And my microphone is still rolling this whole time because I thought that maybe I could like gather some obscenities of them talking shit about me after the door closed.
Yeah, from multiple angles.
And after I stopped recording and I listened to the footage, I didn't even realize I was doing this, but I got back into my apartment. I can hear the door shut and I'm literally grumbling to myself. And also like half telling you this story. And I'm just like talking to myself and I'm like, this is weird.
You have become that woman, that reclusive woman who lives amongst her newspapers.
Thank God my husband is coming back from his trip today.
He's saving you from a life of this.
I am just setting up shop in the deep end. Okay. So, Bethany.
I have never been more entertained, and I'm from a family of funny people, and I went to the movies last night, and this is still the best show I've been to.
So, I start, like, you know, putting together a letter to the owner.
Okay, so to the owner of the upstairs apartment, the tenants.
Yeah, to not the tenants, because you know what, Bethany? I'm done with the tenants.
Yeah, they're not working with you.
Those apes, those freaking unconsiderate a-holes who obviously have never taken ballet.
Obviously, because they're using a lot of flat feet and not a lot of relevé.
Bethany, steam is coming out of my ears because not only do they not, as they told me, take it down a notch, they up it a notch.
They upped it a notch when they said they would take it down a notch?
And while the game ended at 7:30, they continued this malarkey until after 8 p.m.
On a further half hour past touchdown, final touchdown?
I mean, Bethany, my whole day was ruined because I couldn't get anything done.
No.
Because my anger got the best of me.
Yeah, and that's the tough thing. It's like, you know, you're supposed to let it roll off your back because you're giving them more power than they deserve.
Yeah.
But also, at some point, you just can't ignore it any longer.
And then at like 8:30, I start panicking. I'm like, oh my God, if I'm going to make a fuss, I better clean up this apartment. God forbid anybody knock on my door and see this mess inside.
God. You got to, in case people come over to retaliate.
I know.
It needs to be presentable.
I know. And then, okay, so the wheels just start turning in my head. I have a whole letter now drafted to the owners of the unit,
amazing,
Bethany. I have a whole Dropbox folder set up where I made a video where I did a screen recording of the audio playing where you can see the audio waves.
Cool. Yeah.
Okay, right? And then I added the audio on top of that video.
You edited together a presentation.
Oh, yeah. And not only did I edit it together, Bethany, that effort took me 2 hours to mix down.
Kathleen!
2 hours to mix down, Bethany.
Nothing is more motivating than pettiness, I will say.
Okay. I also included a little snippet of the video that I took outside their door with the music coming through the door.
Wow. It's in the club. Yep.
So I have a whole Dropbox set up with all of these materials in it, a PDF letter with links to my videos. It is a 3-page letter, Bethany, with a diagram about how to interpret radio waves.
Where? Did you include a one sheet for our podcast in case they want to advertise with us?
I should have. Where I circled what normal room tone looks like.
Amazing.
And then I started underlining with color-coded keys what stomping looks like and what yelling looks like.
Quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Not to keep interrupting.
Mm-hmm.
Does any part of you feel like you may have done yourself a bit of a disservice by being so thorough? Like maybe it might... to them, look like you have too much time on your hands.
I thought about this.
Yeah.
And I fully recognize that this is probably going to be one of those situations where I stop and say to myself in a couple of weeks, Kathleen, will you just stop being so goddamn Kathleen?
Continue. I'm thrilled. I'm having the best time.
Okay, so I've built my case. I've taken notes. I've looped in someone in the building. I have now sent communication through an official channel, aka the management company. And I also CC'd the vice president of the HOA.
Okay.
Listen, if you can't do this and this is you, a certified letter might work.
Sure. Absolutely. Have it notarized.
Yeah. How do you serve somebody? I was wondering.
I think you need a lawyer. And a lawyer knows how to serve someone.
Okay.
I think you go to where they're doing a script presentation and you hand it to them and they think it's a script to read, but really it's that you want custody of your children.
Okay. I am now going to play you a piece of what I experienced.
It's all been leading up to this. What the hell?
Bethany, and there are cracking noises throughout this whole video where it sounds like, you know, when you're taking a video and someone's like walking on a wood floor next to you and you hear cracking.
Yeah.
I was just sitting on my couch. It is this ceiling cracking throughout all of this audio that I captured. It's the craziest thing ever. It truly is.
That is absolutely nuts. It sounds like an apocalypse. It sounds like people screaming and buildings falling.
I mean, I love to joke that I'm a petty bitch, but like truly for 7 hours, my life was intolerable in the home that I own.
That is so much louder than I thought it was going to be. Yeah,
I mean, and at one point I lost my shit and I screamed, shut up.
And I bet they didn't hear it.
They screamed back, no.
What the f-?
I know. So that is why Kathleen H. is not playing games anymore, Bethany.
You know, it's almost worse that they're so rude.
So rude.
The noise isn't even the biggest issue. It's just how mean they are.
So rude.
Have you heard back? Have you sent this all over now?
Okay, so I sent everything over with a Bitly link because I have a pro Bitly account.
Yeah.
That means that I can track how many clicks my links are getting.
Amazing.
So I know if they've watched my stuff.
Yeah.
Can I just read you a little bit of this letter I have demanded?
Please.
I've demanded two things of the tenants upstairs.
Okay.
I have communicated this to the owners of the unit. I said, to rectify this situation, one, your tenants must agree to put down the proper amount of floor coverings as required by the HOA bylaws.
Amazing.
Because when you live in a condo, technically everybody owns a little piece of the building.
Sure. Yeah.
And there are rules where you have to have like 80% of the floors in your unit covered with area rugs.
And that's just basic apartment living too.
Yeah. You have a hallway, you put down a runner.
Yep.
If you have a freaking dining room table, put it on a rug so your neighbors downstairs don't have to hear you dragging chairs.
Totally.
And then I said, two, they agree to cease having parties. They have provided themselves incapable of being courteous and responsible neighbors.
So that second one's not going to happen.
It was amended from they will agree to not have parties watching sports ball games.
Did you say sports ball games?
I sure did. And I wrote, next time I will not hesitate to call the police. Sincerely, Kathleen H.
H. How do you feel today?
I feel like I have taken two steps towards revenge that have not really provided me with much satisfaction.
Do you worry that your neighbors are going to retaliate in any way? Because that's the scary thing, is it's like when you're up against a-holes.
I know.
They don't amend their behavior. They just retaliate.
And it becomes dangerous.
Yeah, totally.
At some point.
Yep.
Luckily, I'm leaving the country tomorrow. So Neil will have to deal with the fallout from this letter by himself.
Okay.
But I was in the package room and I was like, okay, what? Let me just check in the other floor. Like each floor in my building has their own area in the gym where packages are
so
left.
Weird.
And there's like little signs on the wall that says like, this is for the third floor.
Okay.
This is for the second floor. And so I was just really worried that my package was left on like a different floor.
Of course you were.
So I went to go check and like just happened to glance at the name in the unit upstairs.
Uh-huh.
And so then I just like did a quick Googs.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah, and just for your own safety.
I decided to text them with a new service that I'm providing.
What's that?
Which is daily Abraham Lincoln facts.
He may have had Marfan syndrome.
Okay, Bethany. hello. I don't know. Let's call him Steven. Hello, Steven. Thanks for signing up for Abraham Lincoln facts. This is how I tried to retaliate. I tried two tactics. This is the first tactic. Today's fact, Lincoln was the first U.S. president with a beard. In modern times, the word beard can also be used as a slang term for a fake boyfriend or girlfriend that is being used to conceal one's sexual orientation. We believe that Abraham Lincoln would have been a leader in equal rights for the LGBTQ community. To honor Abraham's sentiments on equality, sign up to join us in Washington, D.C. on September 3rd, 2023 to celebrate World Beard Day. worldbeardday.com.
Oh, my God.
Signing offer today. Lincoln, you later.
Did he reply, stop?
Bethany, it was a landline.
No.
So nobody got my text messages.
No. Who has a landline?
I don't know. I guess it's easier to find landline information on the internet than it is mobile.
Oh, no.
All of my efforts wasted.
Oh, no.
So I tried one more thing last night to get revenge.
Okay.
I don't think it worked. And I am done. After this, I have to take the high road.
Okay.
Also, I haven't packed for a trip that I'm leaving on tomorrow.
You leave tomorrow.
I have to pause my revenge efforts.
Yeah, this takes a lot of time.
So last night I was up late and I was like, what is the best use of my time right now? I decided to set the alarms on my phone.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's great that you can program alarms. So let me pull up and just give you, like, exact timestamps of when this was happening.
Please.
Okay.
You know, as we've learned from you, the more evidence,
the better. Okay. It started at 1:10 in the morning. 1:10. 111, 112, 113, 114, 115, 116, 117, 118, all the way until 1:32 a.m.
You had alarms?
I had alarms going off every single minute. And not just the same alarm on repeat, Bethany, because the human ear can adapt to noises it expects and drown them out. Mm-mm. I had a different alarm sound going off every single minute. To which I taped my phone to the ceiling.
You're psychotic.
I am psycho. I am psycho. I put in my own earplugs so I didn't have to listen.
Of course.
And then I also put blankets all over the floor. Oh, I targeted their bedroom because I figured, you know, like that's where they're sleeping.
Yeah.
And I put blankets all over the floor in my bedroom as to, like, spare the people beneath me.
Of course.
But as I explained, sound travels better through physical materials than it does through air.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm not really worried about the unit below me.
This is amazing.
Okay. Taped my phone to the ceiling, secured that tape with push pins.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
It started going off.
Great.
I can hear them stirring. I get a little index card. I write taste, period, of, period, your, period, own, period, medicine, period. Smiley face, tape it to my door.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And then I wait at the keyhole. I wait. My waiting was a little futile because a moment of exchange never came.
Oh.
But I did hear them stirring. And I made a mistake where towards the end of all my alarms, and by the way, my alarms were going to keep going off because I wasn't snoozing them. So,
oh, nice.
Like, it was going to go on for at least an hour.
Yeah.
I decided to open up my AirPods and pop it in. And then it just, like, totally messed up the Bluetooth dynamic.
Oh, that sucks.
And the alarm stopped. And then I untaped my phone from the ceiling. So it didn't really work. And now I'm exhausted because I was up late trying to get revenge.
Yeah.
So that is where I am with the situation right now.
Kathleen,
mm-hmm.
First of all, truly brava. Brava. This, you know, the saying cutting off your nose to spite your face?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've truly taken this level of pettiness to a point where you have only damaged yourself.
I know.
And your ceilings.
Oh, yeah. That's why I didn't use the broom.
Yeah.
Because
you want to hurt them.
I don't want them to put a hole in my ceiling.
Right. You've misused your time to the point where you're going to be panic packing for a long trip tomorrow.
Yeah.
That said,
mm-hmm.
this has been highly entertaining. And I do hope will you keep us updated?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And also, thank you for giving us all of this evidence, because if they do end up murdering you,
yeah,
you have all of this evidence as to who did it.
Yes, yes.
Who allegedly did it.
You know what, Bethany? And if I decide to take another step tonight,
yeah,
I got to let you know right now that all of my vibrators have new batteries in them, and they will be taped to the ceiling next.
Brilliant. All right, Kathleen, it's time for pop culture coffee break.
Woohoo!
I want to talk to you about the movie Skinamarink, which I saw last night.
Skinamarink.
Have you heard of this movie before I sent you the trailer last night?
No, I haven't.
So this is a movie by a gentleman whose name I know. And I'm sure. Not looking it up right now.
Oh, did they play the trailer for Dear God, It's... or Hello, Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret, before the movie?
They only played... because it's a horror movie, so they only played like horror movie trailers.
Disappointing.
Who's in that?
Rachel McAdams.
Okay.
Bethany, I'm telling you, it looks like a real winner, like an Oscar-winning feature film.
I never read that book growing up. What's it about? Is a chick named Margaret, she's having some problems?
She moves from Brooklyn to New Jersey, and it's about, like, surviving in the suburbs and growing breasts and getting your period.
That sounds exhausting. No, I already went through that once.
It's a real heartfelt coming-of-age story.
Okay. Well, no, they did not show the trailer for Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret. Skinamarink is a movie that is directed by Kyle Edward Ball. He was a YouTuber, and he got famous because people would submit their nightmares, and he would film them.
Oh,
which is so cool.
That's really, what a great idea.
So Skinamarink is shot like you found someone's haunted VHS tape.
Mm.
So it's got a ton of grain on it. It looks like it's a VHS tape.
Oh, note to self, I still need to watch that VHS tape that you found on the street and then gave
to
me. Yes.
Yeah. Or give it back because we now have a VHS.
Oh, okay. I'll bring it next time.
We have a tape player. and the premise is that these two little kids wake up in the middle of the night and their parents are gone and they can't find them.
And they're upset.
Not at first.
Mm, so they're sort of the Kevin McAllister calibration.
They're too young to be that. The other thing is you never really see anyone's face because it's shot like you really only see the carpet and their ankles or you only see the ceiling. Kathleen, this movie stressed me out.
You don't really get scared at movies.
No, this movie scared me. So it was based on his proof of concept, which he made, I think, in 2020, something like that, called Heck. And it's 30 minutes long. It's on YouTube. You can watch it for free. I'll link it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Heck is about a little kid who can't find his mom in the middle of the night.
Oh.
And it's just from like the POV of if this little kid was carrying around a video camera, and there's creepy cartoons that are playing all the time, and the background noise is often just these creepy cartoons playing, and it's so unnerving and so unsettling. You have to go into this movie knowing that it's going to be an hour and 40 minutes of like looking at the wall and Legos, but it is alarming. And so my question for you, there is like a little kid's toy in this movie that at one point is just very frightening. Mm. And that toy is one of those old Fisher-Price telephones that has the eyes. Do you remember those? Like if you could pull it on a string and the eyes would move up and down and up and down. It was like a red phone with a white body. And then it was like a rotary telephone and it had eyes.
And it was on wheels.
Yeah. So that phone is in it and is so scary at one point.
Oh, anything with wheels, you know, like if it starts rolling, like is it rolling on its own? Is somebody pulling it?
Also, why does this phone have eyes? Is there a child's toy, like a toy from your childhood that either scared you then or that you think of and you're like, why the hell was I playing with this toy?
Oh, for sure, Furbies.
Furbies!
They were ugly little gremlins.
They learned.
They could repeat words back to you like a motorized just demonic parrot, but yeah. not quite as colorful. No, thank you.
Is it true that the CIA had to put out a rule that said you could not have Furbies on your desk?
Yeah, I think something like that.
They were learning.
Is that the 1995 equivalent of everybody must delete TikTok from their phone?
Yeah, I think so. Growing up, I had like a hand-me-down baby doll where that you put it on its back and the eyes closed and you lift it up and the eyes open.
Oh.
There, even as a child, I was like, there is something really unnerving about this.
Or baby feels so real.
What are those?
Oh, okay. So it's a baby doll, but it's made with this really thick rubber and you hold the baby and you can feel liquid and bones inside the baby.
Oh, no. Why are we training our children to squeeze babies?
I can remember I had an au pair at the time when I had this,
you had an au pair.
Toy, and they were really upset about what they were giving children to play with in America.
Of course. Why? Because why are you squeezing a baby's arm till you can feel the bone?
Like, it had the same heft of a regular baby did, like filled with liquid.
This is upset. What, do we ever know what the liquid was?
It was probably water. Baby feels so real.
Okay, wait. Like what?
Oh, when you put, you could give baby feel so real water in a bottle, and it would come out. There was like a hole where the water went through the body, and the baby would pee pee into the diaper.
That's upsetting. I'm looking up what liquid was inside baby feels so real, and I'm getting a lot of responses of amniotic fluid, which is not correct.
Oh, I wish that I had held on to this because they're selling for as much as $93 on eBay.
Thanks. This is a vintage Baby Feels So Real from 1991 from Tyco. She's heavy and has a soft spot on her head.
Yeah.
What is going on?
No, I'm telling you.
Why are we doing this?
It was anatomically correct.
Oh, let's see. Oh, there's a website, acidcow.com. What is inside the doll is this link.
I'm looking at a picture of a pristine Baby Feel Surreal still on the box. And the front of the box has a little girl holding the baby. And there's a little heart. And inside the heart, there is text that says, I have soft skin, tiny bones, and feel like a real baby.
Ugh. Okay, this is exactly what we're looking for. Acidcow.com. What is inside the doll? Baby Feel Surreal dolls were popular in the 80s and 90s. Let's see what was inside those dolls. So now they put a Baby Feel Surreal inside a basin and they have a scalpel. They scalpel the baby open from the stomach.
Yeah.
Again, it's a doll. They have on gloves. This is like a medical person.
Ew.
They put the gloves on and now there's a shot of them lifting their finger and there's like, it looks like honey.
Oh, gross.
Is inside this baby.
Oh, it's viscous.
It's like a maroon, brown maroon color.
That's awful.
Inside the baby. And then here's one of the joints of the baby's arm or leg covered. It just looks like it's covered in Manuka honey. They cut open the foot. There's Manuka honey coming out of the foot. And then a link that says, do you like it?
At least it's the expensive honey.
No, it's the kind that my esthetician used to use on my face.
The box says, I'm nice and heavy.
Gross. Stop.
Disgusting.
That's awful. If you have a Baby Feel So Real, cut it open and send us pictures.
Oh, God. Sell it on eBay. Make yourself a profit.
So, Kathleen, I'm wearing pants today that aren't black.
I know.
And I feel vulnerable.
No, so I just asked you to stand up so I could get a good look at your arse. Before we started this segment.
You told me to turn around, which made me uncomfortable.
And they are like a really cute pink plaid.
They're a pink plaid. I got them at Buffalo Exchange.
Oh.
A while ago. Because I saw a woman walking down in the East Village in like a plaid pant that sat on her hip very nicely.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need that in my life. So I went to Buffalo Exchange.
Is this when you went to Buffalo Exchange with all of your designer items and they looked at them and went, meh.
Yep, that was that. That was when that happened.
This is worth money. I promise you.
Someone bought these for me. I didn't buy them.
So you bought your pants secondhand at Buffalo Exchange?
Sure did.
Oh, how much did they cost?
I think they were like $12.
The best.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But I do, as someone who almost exclusively wears black, the feeling of wearing color is so alarming because I've said this before. When I wear black, it feels like armor. Uh-huh. I know where my body starts and ends and where the outside world begins.
Yeah.
Because the outside world is filled with color. But when I am wearing color, I don't feel protected from all the color out there.
No, I understand what you're saying, because when you wear color, color, no matter where it is, if it's on your body, if it's in a room, on a building, whatever, it evokes emotion.
Yeah.
And so when you're wearing all black, you know that your presence will not outwardly evoke emotion from anybody in your immediate area.
Right. Even though it will, because you're someone walking in wearing all black, but it feels, you feel more like a shadow than you do like a presence.
Yeah, like don't, like when you wear your sunglasses inside because you don't want anybody to talk to you.
Right, exactly. Yes, when you have your sunglasses and your headphones.
Yeah.
So it's just like walking through the world. Now I am wearing a black shirt. If I wasn't wearing a black shirt, I'd be at Sixes and Sevens today. I would not know. I got headshots taken last week and in one of them I'm wearing a hot pink shirt. And first of all, we had to dig deep to find that shirt.
Uh-huh. Oh, you should have. I had so many. I got one to you.
My God. I should. Yeah, I should. Next time I'm going to ask you. It is. And this sounds so stupid and like such hyperbole if you aren't an all black wearer. Mm-hmm. But as someone who's worn almost exclusively black for a very long time, it is unsettling because you do not feel like yourself.
Well, I have to say, first of all, today you look adorable.
Thank you.
Because I really like this sort of like punk girl, like soft punk girl look that you're leaning into today.
Yeah, I have a low space buns in right now. Yeah,
you have really cute low space buns. I really hope that you don't bump into Sarah Jessica Parker on the street today.
Is she anti-space buns?
No, I regret wearing space buns in my high space buns in my hair the day that I met Sarah Jessica Parker and took a selfie with her because literally the perhaps most playful but also like least sophisticated hairstyle is now documented in my selfie with Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah, I've also worn high space buns at bad times.
You know what? I like high space buns.
They're cute.
They're really cute.
Yeah.
Anyway, I am digging this look on you. Like you're wearing like, what do you call your necklace? Like a silver metal necklace, like an army tag without the tags. That's what the chain is.
Yeah, it's like a ball chain, like choker, and it's a hand holding a snake.
Yeah, that's the pendant on it. You know, friendly, normal, everyday neighborhood stuff.
You know.
And you're wearing a black crop top, and there's like a little strategic rip in your crop top. Like, did you buy it that way?
No.
Really?
This is an authentic rip. I earned this rip.
That's really cool.
Thank you. This is this shirt is by, I want to say Everclear. It's not Everlane.
Oh, Target. Yeah, they do. Yeah. They make great stuff.
Yeah, Everlane. Yeah. We've partnered with them before.
Yeah.
And my cat grabbed this shirt, and so her claw mark turned into a really nice strategically placed. When you get an authentic rip in your clothes, my God, it feels like you're from the 70s and you started something that's going to come full circle in the 2000s.
Like you're the type of person who doesn't wash their Levi's. You just put them in the freezer and wait for the stank to evaporate.
Totally. It's like you're a cowboy and all of your jeans are like whiskered authentically.
Yeah.
Oh man, I feel cool.
But you having to wear pink for your new headshots circles back to something that I said in my three things at the top of the pod today, which is nothing stresses me out more and gives me like body dysmorphia than having to pack for a vacation.
Because you're leaving tomorrow.
Yeah, because you know, when you go on vacation, you're typically in a climate that, you know, because you need to get away. You're either going someplace cold to do fun cold things, you're going someplace hot to do fun hot things.
Yeah.
And so you're wearing clothes that you're not used to wearing. And I just hate feeling out of my element.
Yeah, I know.
And I start to panic and I'm like, I shouldn't have done this. Why do I bother going? What are the ways in which I can cancel? And I mean, I never ever regret coming home from a vacation saying like, ugh, shouldn't have done that.
Right.
Way too much fun for my conscience.
I learned too many new things.
Yeah. And it's just like feeling out of your element.
Yeah.
When you're wearing clothes, just like really sucks.
Yeah. It's interesting how you don't realize that you feel like yourself until you don't feel like yourself.
Yeah.
And then you really figure out what your comfort center is. Mm-hmm. And I don't know.
Yeah.
It's weird to feel outside that. And, but you know what? It's not the worst thing happening in the world.
And also, like, if you're in an outfit that you feel comfortable in, it frees up so much space in your brain to do other amazing things.
Yeah.
Than just worrying about how you look and how you feel. And that to me is like really the biggest shocker.
Okay. Well, Kathleen.
Yeah.
Speaking of things we've learned, uh-huh. What other things have you learned this week?
For $19.99 a year,
yeah.
You can pay UPS to be a member of UPS My Choice Premium.
Okay.
And if a company, say a company shipping you cute but modest bathing suits, chooses the slowest shipping option,
yeah.
And you need to get it before a certain date and it's not going to reach you, if you have this service for $20 a year, you just tell UPS that you want the package sooner and they get it to your house on time.
That's crazy.
Isn't that the coolest thing ever?
And another way to get our money.
Any package that anybody ships to you via UPS, you now have control to either redirect it, get it to yourself faster, or choose a pickup point.
Brilliant.
Pretty cool, right?
Brilliant.
Bethany, what'd you learn this week?
As someone who has very weak fingernails, yeah. I often wear press-on nails. And you can get them, like, they're already designed, and yeah. They come in containers with a certain number of... But I realized, like, only 50% of the ones in the containers will fit my fingers. Go ahead and just get yourself the regular non-painted press, like, the glue-on nails. Yeah. And you can get them in, like, a big kit
yeah.
for much less money. And then you can just paint them whatever color you want. Oh. Stop wasting money getting, like, the Kiss brand or the, you know, yeah. whatever, Impress brand. Just get them from like a beauty supply store and glue them on yourself and paint them. It's so much cheaper.
You should get a fake hand where you can actually design them.
Yes.
On the hand when they're not on your hand.
Yes.
To make it easier.
I saw this thing on Instagram where it was this woman doing an incredible, beautiful, intricate nail art design on her own hand. And she only showed the left hand.
Yeah.
I was like, girl, you know, the right hand's all over the place.
Listen, you've just solved a problem for a lot of people just coming up with that idea.
Hell yeah. Saving the world. Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
At Kathleen Loves Color on everything. How about you, Bethany?
Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. You can also find our show on social media. Just search an Acquired Taste podcast.
There's a new Facebook group, maybe, if you're missing the old one. And there's a Discord. There's a Reddit. We have Instagram. We have all sorts of stuff.
Also, you can send us an email. hello@acquiredtastepodcast.com.
We have a snail mail address. That's an Acquired Taste podcast, P.O. Box 1717 Hoboken, New Jersey 07030.
This show is edited by Dennis Callow. You can follow him on social media at Dennis Callo.
Did we hit all the talking points?
Oh, I think we have a phone number.
Oh, yes, we do. That's 917-994-0353.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
Ah.
And taste buds, here is what you had to say this week.
Hi, girls. It's Carrie. So I'm catching up. And I have a couple thoughts about things because I'm a speech-language pathologist on my way to work to do some language evals on some kiddos. So first of all, I was just listening to your talk about the internal monologues and the movie The Arrival, which I have not seen because I have a severe alien phobia, but I really kind of want to watch it because I also love Jeremy Renner and, like, the language porn sounds amazing. If they came to me and was like, hey, you're an SLP, go talk to aliens, and be like, hell to the no. But anyway, so I just want to say that I've talked to a lot of my students, who many of whom are on the autism spectrum, and a lot of these kids think in pictures, just like Temple Grandin. She's very famous for explaining how she thinks in pictures, and that's why she's been so successful in her career as an inventor. So Bethany, I know you've talked a little bit about potentially maybe feeling like you're on the spectrum, and the fact that you might think in images could be a part of that, which is an incredible way to think. I asked one of my students one time, and I said, how do you think? Do you think in words or do you think in pictures? He said he thinks in numbers. And I'm like, of course you do. You're incredible with math. So there are so many ways to think, which I think is just so amazing. So that was one part of it. The other part, when you were talking about foreign language syndrome a few weeks ago, at least when I was catching up a few weeks ago, you were talking about the one lady who sounded with, like, maybe an Asian accent. And Kathleen was talking about how her sentence structure was different. If she had some kind of stroke, which she didn't say, but she might have had, like, a tiny stroke, which can happen. Of course, your speech can be affected. That's called aphasia, but it can also affect your sentence structure, too. So that could be why the word she was saying, why her sentence structure didn't make sense. Because anytime something happens to the language structures of your brain, there's like infinite ways that it could be kind of messed up. And that's where us speech language pathologists come into play, because we have all these wonderful therapy techniques to help people relearn how to say all these words, how to say all these sentence structures, how to understand what's been said to you. It's really, really fun. Like, I love what I do. I'm getting a doctorate, which is insane, but, you know, like, I love teaching. So I just wanted to share some of my SLP knowledge with you guys. Have a wonderful day.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.